You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, the podcast of serialized fantasy and science fiction stories written and read by Tansy Rayner Robbins. We are still listening to Fake Geek Girl, a novelette in 10 parts, previously published in Review of Australian Fiction, Volume 14, Issue 4, in May 2015. This week's episode, once again, is not safe for work, thanks mostly to the language of Sage. It's his fault, not mine. Chapter 7, Sage's Coffee Shop AU. Back at Cirque de Cacao, because half the people I lived with were pissed off at me, and the other half were busy with their own melodrama. I drank 2 mochaccinos down in under half an hour. If I didn't quiet down the random magical blasts from my skin, I was going to have to find another coffee shop, because this one would be a charred mess of foamed milk and hipsters. Then, because I was apparently good for nothing else this week, I devoted my attention to scribbling down angry song lyrics on a stack of circus-themed serviettes. I'm the last straight girl in this city, but I'm changing my mind. Oh, I'm changing my mind. I'm the last straight girl in this city, but I'm changing my mind because you're so pretty! I glared at the sound system and then at skinny goth waiter, who is usually better than this. Did you do that deliberately? You looked like you needed cheering up, he said in a deadpan voice. Yeah, right. I gave him a filthy look. You friends with Holly or Juniper? Skinny goth waiter smiled with all his teeth. Juniper wanted me to punish you for skipping band practice. She said I could get creative with my methods. By the way, someone tweeted your location, and there's a bunch of 13-year-old fans outside who want your autograph. I'm pretty sure I had a haunted look on my face as I looked up at the picture windows. Skinny goth waiter just about killed himself laughing. I'm kidding, he said, but that was great. Can I get a selfie with you? Sure, just let me stick this fork in my neck real quick. But I let him take the picture, and even put a deliberately suffering expression on my face while I did it. On another day, I would have appreciated his trolling tactics for the minor work of art that they were. He didn't let up on the sound system, so I wrote my angry, "This is how the band breaks up" song to the background melody of Fake Geek Girl's greatest hits. Magic is such a huge force in our lives. Even people who don't have much of it, I reckon their lives revolve around it even more. My parents obsessed over how to keep it out of our lives. These days, now I know how much of it I have bubbling under my skin and how dangerous it might be if I let it loose, I can never not think about it. Even if I wasn't such a freak of nature, I'd still be the sort of bloke who spends all his time trying to figure out how the world works from the inside out. And magic, it's a big part of that. That's not an original thought. Hell, pretty much every student at the College of the Real is trying to figure out how magic works from first principles. But give me a band. A band, a good band. One that really speaks to people. It's a perfect combo of instruments, performers, fans, lyrics, beat, heart. It's set list and history and atmosphere and singing yourself raw on a Friday night. No one's ever going to write a thesis about how that particular brand of magic happens. But it is magic. It's the best kind of magic. And it only works when all the ingredients are in sync with each other. Take one thing away, maybe you can recover. Take 2 things and it's broken. I wrote, and I drank coffee until Skinny Goth Waiter cut me off and asked pointed questions about when I last ate anything, and I wrote more. And while that was happening, my phone blew up with more messages. Not from Holly this time, she'd given up on me after yesterday, but Juniper, mostly, harassing me about skipping practice in her perfectly grammatical texts. Deck, too, because I'd blown off a mirror raid I promised to play with him yesterday. I was letting everyone down. I knew it. I've never been real good at letting go of stuff, and I didn't know how to let go of this. I didn't know how to come to terms with Fake Geek Girl being that thing we did one time before our lives got started. When I was done, I had 3 songs, and they were all written for Holly's voice, Juniper's cello. We were so screwed. I blinked when a plate full of grilled sandwich and hot chips appeared in front of me like a mirage. Hebe sat across from the table, with that little frown line between her eyebrows she gets when she's worried. "Will said you looked like you're about to keel over," she said.
"Who the fuck's Will?"
She pointed to skinny goth waiter, who gave me an embarrassed sort of salute.
"Huh."
I started to eat the sandwich and discovered after about 3 bites that, yeah, I was hungry.
"What's going on with you, Sage?" Hebe asked softly.
And this was it, all right? The point at which I unloaded all my bullshit and she fixed it somehow, or at least helped me come to terms with what couldn't be fixed. That's how it usually goes. Me and Hebe. Fixing things. But she had a look on her face that was maybe not about me. And it felt all of a sudden like I'd spent so much time this week being pissed off at her mirror image that we'd hardly seen each other.
"You first," I said, and went back to attacking my sandwich.
Hebe bit on her lower lip.
"Well," she said uncertainly,
and it all came tumbling out. How she was pretty sure, well, at least Holly had put it together, the Ferd was a null, which made no sense, not for a third-year Basilisk King. But if you put it together with the Thaumaturgy explosion last week and the rumours and the... I had my own side to add at that point, because it had been pretty damned obvious in the alley last week when his friends were all powered up and I couldn't feel a spark from him. And then again on the night of the fire alarm when he walked through the wave without a peep. But I'd been too wrapped up in my own head to pay attention.
"His tattoo still moves," I said thoughtfully.
"Well, that's not him, though, is it? Magical tattoos are... well, they have their own sources of power."
"I couldn't imagine it. Moving through our world without any magic at all, that'd be hard. I spent the first 17 years of my life being pressured to avoid, ignore, do without it, but it was still there in the air around me. Going from that, though, from full-blown legacy student of the real, with so much family expectation to nothing? How did a Basilisk King cope with that?"
"I guess," I said thoughtfully, wiping up sauce with my chips, "if he's lucky, he'll find a cool place to live. And a bunch of new friends who won't be all judgy and weird about it. He could flirt with a girl who doesn't see him as a stepping stone to the wealth and privilege of the founders. He could enroll in some courses at that College of the Unreal I hear so much about. Maybe even pick up a few non-magical life skills along the way. And I feel that an introduction to tabletop games and the wonders of the internet would help round out his experience of being among the unreal peasants." Hebe gave me the most ridiculous grin. It was a good look on her.
"Sage," she said fondly,
"are you suggesting that there's nothing to be fixed here?"
"Take it as a win, darling."
That, right there, that was a quit while you're ahead kind of moment. I should have finished my chips, sent Hebe on her way to take things up a notch with the sizzling Ferdinand, and wandered over to see if skinny goth waiter wanted to give me his number. Instead, when Hebe looked serious and said, "Now it's your turn," I told her the truth. I told her that I was pretty sure Holly was going to break up with the band, to leave all the geeky in-jokes and internet fame behind in exchange for a more normal solo career. And Hebe thought about it for about 30 seconds, and then she replied, "Well, maybe she should." We were still yelling at each other when we got back to the house.